Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor LaCane. One of the great uncovered stories in the media is the rise of women in business and their potential for positive impact in our communities, our country, and our world. More women are starting and running their own businesses, and some experience remarkable success. By becoming entrepreneurs, women can strengthen their own economic security, create jobs for others, and change business as usual, bringing their values and their hopes for a better world right into the workplace. Our guest today is a leader in helping women start and expand their own companies and creating a new model of doing business in alignment with feminine values. Sage Levine is the CEO of Women Rocking Business, a company assisting thousands of women entrepreneurs around the globe. Sage teaches women entrepreneurs to create sustainable wealth through creating a business they love. After years of helping women start and turbocharge their businesses, Sage just wrote a book for women entrepreneurs titled Women Rocking Business, The Ultimate Step-by-Step Guidebook to Create a Thriving Life Doing Work You Love. Sage understands that purposeful entrepreneurship is a powerful way to create world change. She and her team and a tribe of women entrepreneurs have raised over $500,000 for women around the globe, women in the rainforest and Indonesia, supporting them to build businesses that serve their communities and protect our ecosystems. Sage Levine, welcome to All Together Now.
Eleanor, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I read your book, and I love your book, and I'm excited to share it with our listeners here. So let's get started. Many people today would like to earn more income and have greater economic security, and you yourself struggled financially early on. What was the turning point for you to go from broke to running your own million-dollar business?
You know, I believe that pain pushes us until a vision starts to pull us. And for me, it was a mixture of those two things, Eleanor. And I think for most people, it really is, right? We're either moving away from the struggle of money that we are sick and tired of experiencing, or we're moving toward a vision. And for me, as a young girl, I actually had had a dream that I was standing in a beach, standing on the beach with about 100 women in a circle living their dreams together. And I had no idea how that was going to look or how that was going to come to fruition. But when I left my teaching job, I actually started having that dream again of me standing in this circle on the beach with all these women leaders. And, you know, I was a school teacher from Iowa making $28,000 a year. And as I first launched upon my mission of, you know, starting this women's leadership company, I went broke pretty fast and went into debt because I didn't know a thing about business. I had come from a long line of school teachers. In fact, my mother didn't want me selling Girl Scout cookies because she was so afraid I was going to offend the neighbors. That's how anti-salesy my family was. And so I always tell my clients, if I can learn to start a business, so can you. I was definitely an accidental entrepreneur. And as soon as I started hiring mentors and actually getting support in my business rather than trying to do it all by myself, my business did grow. We became a six-figure company in about a year and a half. And then as soon as I opened up my company and the version it is now, we became a seven-figure million-dollar training company in 18 months. And I believe for me it was really about putting service alongside sales, because there's, you know, I think I'm probably similar to a lot of women out there that, you know, we don't necessarily love selling ourselves, but when we can really see that the selling of ourselves is a service, it's a service that we can do for other people, then we can get out of our own way, I believe, and really bring some pretty incredible gifts and products and services to the marketplace.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And you write in your book about a particular moment as an adult when you were feeling kind of lost and broke and a lot of pain, and you kind of made a deal with God about what you would do if you could move through it. Would you like to share that story with our listeners?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My husband and I had just really walked away from everything that we had worked for years to achieve. I was married at the time, and we had both left secure jobs, and we had moved to California. like any consciousness-seeking couple, right? We're going to change our lives and open up businesses and move to California, and thereby begun the massive debt that we had gone into. In fact, I had worked myself to the point where I was at least $30,000 to $35,000 in debt, and you know the debt was growing every day, and I wasn't seeing any real return on my investment to start my business. And in the middle of my first big online project, trying to get the message out, my neck actually went out. I could not move my head. I could not move my body. Anybody who's ever had that kind of pain knows what I'm talking about. I was literally lying, on the ground for about a week and a half. I was in that much pain. And it actually was that much pain that sort of had me surrender to start to listen to the messages that were coming through. I'll never forget the moment I was, laying in my backyard of a little tiny bungalow. We had scraped together enough money to rent in Santa Cruz, California. We had been living in an RV for a year trying to start our businesses. And I was looking at the clouds overhead, and I just started to pray. I didn't know what else to do. Everything seemed like it was falling apart. I had set out to follow my dream, and it just wasn't working. And in that moment, I really turned it over. I really said, universe, do with me what you will, because I can't figure this out anymore. If I need to go back and get a teaching job, then I'll do that. And, I love teaching, but I really wanted to be teaching something that was a true calling of my soul. When I left my traditional teaching job, I was really hungry to teach a message that felt like it was more in alignment with what I actually wanted to say. And if any of you have considered leaving your full-time gig or leaving your full-time job to start a business, you know the kind of pressure that's on you in that moment, right? You know the very real risk that you'll be taking as you do that. And there I was laying in my backyard looking at the clouds. And in that moment, as I started to surrender it over, I actually had an awareness of all of the other women around the globe that were also struggling because of money, and many in far worse circumstances than myself. I had a roof over my head and I had food in the refrigerator. And I had this awareness that I still, even in that broken down moment, was so much more fortunate than so many women on the planet. And as many of you know, women are still getting paid 80 cents on the dollar compared to men. Minority women only make 65 cents on the dollar compared to men. And, entrepreneurship is such a beautiful solution to that. And in that moment, I felt like I was holding hands with, hundreds of thousands of women around the globe, millions of women around the globe that were longing for financial freedom together. And I just made a deal. I said, God, if you can help me out of this, you can have me. I'm going to start crying as I tell this story. You can have me. You can have all of me. If you can help me out of this situation so that I can see that I can at least make a nice living doing the thing that I most want to do, helping women, create financial sustainability and financial freedom for themselves. If you can show me how to do that, you have my word that I will do whatever it takes for the rest of my life to help as many women as I can. And, of course, there were tears. And it was just a few minutes later that I had a realization of something that I could do with this online project I had launched that would actually make it way more successful. And within minutes of my plea, I had an idea that I put into action quite quickly. And that was the first online interview series that I launched that ended up generating over $100,000 in revenue. And as a school teacher from Iowa, to be able to make $100,000 of revenue in about 5 weeks was like mind-blowing to me. It handled my debt and it set me on a course to be able to, hire my first assistant and take myself seriously. And I've been building this company ever since. And I really believe that we were made for these times. There's a lot of political and economic chaos going on right now around the world. There's natural disasters happening. And I really believe that women were made for these times. We have an ability to connect with our intuition and with our intellect. When we combine, smart business strategy with our emotional intelligence and our absolute, qualities that make womanhood so special and unique. You know, our ability to be empathic, our ability to be generous. You know, when we learn to build a business from a place of, from a place of cooperation rather than competition, when we learn to build a business from a place of empowerment rather than power over, when we set out to create a business that's really like from a place of generosity, we're leading with generosity rather than a sense of urgency or, you know, a lot of pushing and hard selling, we can find and create the most incredible life for not only ourselves, but for our customers and our clients and our community around us. And it's been demonstrated in the micro lending world, right? Like women in third world countries all over the world are being given micro loans every day, thousands of micro loans every day, and they're paying those loans back at a rate of something like 97%. You know, women all over the planet are demonstrating that, you know, we're ready to create our own economy, and we're ready to be a part of what turns our world around.
That's great, and it's very impressive that you made that commitment at that moment to dedicate your life to helping women who are stuck because of financial dependence, and you've done it very successfully. You've set up a couple of successful businesses, and then your current business on helping other women to start and expand their own businesses, and from that, you've just written this new book, Women Rocking Business. Why did you write this book?
For me, the book was really a labor of love. I like to say the book wrote me. I think a lot of authors feel that way. You know, when we feel like we're ready to get the message out to a larger audience, a book is the right way to do it. You know, I've spent nearly a decade supporting women to launch businesses now, and I've had enough experience that I realize I have some answers for women that they may not be able to find anywhere else. You know, when I set out to acquire the business knowledge to start my own company, I was a little disillusioned by how traditional some of the business trainings were in the world. And of course, there's some awesome, wonderful resources out there to help you start a business. And I felt like there was a gap in the marketplace for a really solid training for women, particularly to start businesses. You know, we can end up with a distaste in our mouth around business if we don't learn business in a way that is in alignment with our values, right? If we feel we have to compromise our integrity, if we feel we have to push, if we feel we have to, you know, become somebody we're not going to get the momentum that we so desperately need our women entrepreneurs and aspiring women entrepreneurs to get on this planet. Right. If we can't get women the tools to become financially sustainable, you know, within 1 to 3 years, we risk those very women who are really, I believe, in some ways, one of the largest, areas of untapped potential on our planet, right? Women with dreams, women with ideas, women with talents. If we can't get all of you making money within a certain amount of time, we found about 1 to 3 years, then we risk you running out of the finances or the passion or the drive actually get your business to the marketplace, to get your business up and running. And so I'm just committed. I'm committed to getting these tools in the hands of every woman who needs it.
Well, I'm excited about your work and about your wonderful book and the training that you do give for women on how to create and expand a business in alignment with values, because I agree with you. We have incredible political and economic chaos right now in the country and in the world, and we need women to step up. We need women's voices. We need women to really be fully stepping into helping solve the problems and create a more viable future for ourselves and for the planet. And I think one of the biggest things that holds women back is that they are financially insecure. They're trapped in relationships that they don't really enjoy or like because they're financially dependent on their partner, or they're trapped in jobs that they don't really like because they're dependent on the paycheck. And I believe if more women could find their way to financial freedom, they could speak out and be more active participants in our communities and our country. So I think you hold a vital key to untapping that incredible potential that women have to make a difference in our communities and in the world.
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you so much. I mean, I think you and I probably are of agreement that business as usual can actually fuel exploitation in the world, mm-hmm. right? And
right.
much of business, the way that we've been doing business, is even causing suffering for millions of people and contributing to the killing of the planet. And, you know, women really aren't earning what they deserve, or in many cases, what they need to survive. And we need to get women to a place of financial sustainability such that we can do our work together, absolutely.
All right. So I'm excited about your book and your work because of that, and because it just is such a fantastic, it really is a guidebook step by step for how to become a successful entrepreneur. And we know that a lot of women step in trying to do their own business for many reasons. They might be laid off. They might take time to care for their family and then not be able to find a job to come back in the market. Are they just offended or appalled by some of the values that they see in their workplace and want to strike out on their own? And yet 95% of the women who own businesses earn under $100,000 and never really reach that financial freedom point. They're always struggling trading their time for money and never really flourishing. How do you help women go from just getting by to generating serious money?
That's right. That's right. That's our tendency, right? 95% of women who own businesses are not earning six figures. And that is our tendency as women, is to recreate ourselves a job, right? Because we're so hardwired to work. We're hardwired for work. We will go ahead and build a business that is just another job, right? We're mm-hmm. clocking in early in the morning. We're working until late in the evening. And what I've found is that once women understand what are the income-producing activities, you know, how do they stay in those higher leverage roles? How do we get women actually doing the creative aspects and the managerial aspects of their business so that they can truly think like a CEO rather than thinking like an employee? The sooner we can actually get them to the front side, like what I call the front side of their business finances, the front side of their model, where now they're setting their schedule, they're training a team to support them so they can spend, you know, 50 to 60 to 70 to the goal is to be spending 70 or 80% of their time in their zone of what I call their zone of genius, right? To be spending 70 to 80% of their time as a CEO and not as the employee of their company. And so we get them really prioritizing what are those income producing activities. You know, we should be as CEOs spending our time meeting with clients and customers, meeting with high-level clients and customers. We should be spending time managing our team and making sure that we have between 25 and 50% of our schedule freed up to work on our business rather than in our business. When we're constantly trapped on the inside of our business in the day-to-day decisions, the day-to-day administration, the day-to-day marketing, the emailing, the client care, right? We can never get beyond that, you know, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year mark. And so the more we can get women really thinking like a CEO, the more we can actually get them to the point where they have what I call a freedom schedule. In our company, we have a term, it's called the freedom schedule. And what it is it's an idea that we can actually make as much money as we want to make working 12 days per month or less. And so the schedule that we aspire to create as women entrepreneurs through my training programs is a schedule where we're working Monday through Thursday, the first 3 weeks of the month. We take Fridays off and we take 1 week a month completely off. And during that time, you may be doing creative projects on your business, but you're not working in the business. And as soon as I implemented my freedom schedule a couple of years ago, my entire life changed. In fact, I was seriously thinking about transitioning out of my business and transitioning into working for someone else at the time because I was working so much. And when I discovered the freedom schedule, when I discovered that I could actually rein in the amount of time I was spending on my business and start to really create things that worked and then wash, rinse, and repeat, you know, with those things that had proven to be, income producing services, products, and programs we were bringing to the marketplace, then I was able to really focus my time in and really apply myself, you know, 3 or 4 days a week so that I could free up those other days to work work on my business and also just have time off so that I could be a woman in the world and not necessarily feel like I was an entrepreneur 24/7. You know, women are starting businesses because we want to have more time with our families. Women are starting businesses because we want to be home with our kids. We're starting businesses because we want to be able to travel the world. And there is a way to do it. And again, it takes some real willingness to learn the models, to apply yourself, to find mentorship, and to really step into a mindset of being a CEO and not an employee.
Yeah, that's an excellent model. And I think we can all celebrate and look forward to being financially prosperous and working 12 days or less a month. I think you've created a fantastic model there, and we can have more time with our family, more time in our communities, more time trying to help get our country back on track. And
thank you. Can I say one more thing about that?
Sure. Yes.
Because, you know, it's this deep decision we make as women to sort of stop that overgiving, you know, that overgiving tendency that we have, right? Like so many of us were taught from the time that we were little girls to just give and give and give to the point of depletion. And it's this willingness to learn some new tools of really understanding, you know, the time that it takes to do a task will expand into the amount of time that you give it, right? There's these universal principles around how we manage our time and how we truly take care of ourselves. And then the mindset shift of how do we actually begin to put ourselves first? Because nobody is going to make these decisions for us. Right? We have to make these decisions for ourselves. And so, you know, thank you, Eleanor, because I am so adamant. It's one of the reasons why Hay House picked up my book. You know, Hay House is probably the largest publisher of self-growth books and how-to guidebooks in many ways in the industry. And, you know, Louise Hay actually chose my book because of the Freedom Schedule. The Freedom Schedule is laid out in Chapter 7. And that, you know, when I got offered, you know, a book deal and when I got signed by Hay House, you know, sitting around a table, you know, in the middle of Manhattan with big pictures on the wall of Wayne Dyer and, you know, Louise Hay, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, like I just started my business up a few years ago and here I am in Manhattan, you know, signing a book deal. And I felt a little out of my element. I felt a little bit like, oh my gosh, am I really going to be able to follow through on what I say I'm going to do? And it was, you know, the CEO of Hay House looked at me and said, the reason we're giving you this book deal is because Louise Hay loves the idea of women working 12 days a month or less, and she wants this message in as many hands as possible. And as many of you know, Louise Hay passed away just about a week ago or so. And I feel like we are standing on the shoulders of, you know, Louise Hay and Marianne Williamson and Oprah Winfrey and all of these women that have worked so hard to stand up and say, you know, it's my turn to be a leader. It's my turn to have a voice. It's also my turn to not work myself into the ground.
Right. I think that's so critical. And Louise Hay was a friend of mine I have enormous respect for, and I miss her already. But she's just done such incredible work, and including publishing this important book of yours. And you're so right. Women do tend to be people-pleasing and over-giving, and we think we're being generous and doing, you know, being of service. But really, if we can take care of ourselves first, we're then able to do so much more in the world. And another author out of Hay House, a friend of mine, Cheryl Richardson, wrote that incredible book about the art of extreme self-care. And I love the way you apply that principle to women who are doing their own businesses, which we think of as, oh my God, you're working 24/7 to try and get your business going. And obviously, of course, you do need to work smart, but also to know that you don't have to have it take over your life. I think that's such a critical message to give to women.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to also add that some of these qualities, these womanly qualities that we've been accused of, these people-pleasing qualities, these conflict-avoiding tendencies, you know, some of these very qualities when you know, just given a 1 degree shift and seen through a different lens, these are actually the qualities that I believe can help us have what I call a cooperative advantage in business. And so, you know, rather than beat up on ourselves when we realize we're doing those things, I really invite each and every one of you women who are listening and any of you men who are listening to continue to celebrate the women in your life by, you know, really identifying that it is because of our people-pleasing tendencies that we have this gift of empathy, right? We can intuitively understand and anticipate what our clients and customers are looking for before they even ask for it themselves, because we have this you know, sense of, you know, some people might accuse us of being conflict avoiding. But what if we as women have extraordinary gifts and skills at being able to diffuse conflict when it arises? I mean, how many times have you seen conflict arise and, you know, it happens to be a woman who can come in and sort of, you know, smooth things over and talk through things in a way that has everybody feeling heard and seen and listened to, right? And so I want to make sure that we, you know, even though, you know, we're shining the light on these tendencies that women have, but we also are celebrating our unique, you know, womanly gifts that can absolutely give us, like I say, a cooperative advantage when we're going about bringing an enterprise to the world.
Right. Well said. And it's interesting to me kind of watching the women's movement evolving over the past many decades, and that originally as we were coming out, we were saying, well, we want women to have equal opportunity in the workplace and in any setting, same opportunities as men. And it took a lot of work to kick the doors open for women, and we've made tremendous progress having women as even executives in business. I mean, we still have a ways to go to full equality. But what I see happening is, and I was in one of the first classes of women at Yale, and we get together and talk frequently about it. I set up a group called the Yale Women Network here in Washington, D.C. What happens is sometimes when women get into the positions of executives or in these corporations or law firms, that they saw what it was and they said, you know what, I don't really want to live like that. I want to live more in harmony with my values. I want more time to be with my family, and I don't want to be cutthroat. And what's really exciting to me about your book and your program is you show women how we can succeed in business while living in harmony with our values. It's not just about women taking our place alongside of men, but actually women recreating what the nature of business is itself. And that's an amazing gift that you're giving to us and to the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do really believe that we're bringing a new paradigm of business, and I believe that that men are standing alongside us. You know, it's not just about being a woman. It's about bringing the feminine more to the forefront of the selling conversation, of commerce, of the way that we do deals, the way that that business happens. How do we bring the feminine more to the forefront of that, right? And, you know, women and men are both a mixture of feminine and masculine qualities. And we all have that feminine quality inside of us that creates, you know, that naturally just, you know, is prolifically creative and unstoppable, right? And we all, you know, the masculine energy is required of us to be able to sit down and focus that energy. Without the masculine, you know, the feminine energy becomes like a river without any flood banks, right? The feminine energy creates and has ideas and dreams and visions. I've actually identified these four leadership qualities that have to exist if we're going to be well-rounded, sustainable, smart business people who are in the money conversation and in the selling conversation. And you know, there's a lot more information about these four leadership qualities. There's even an assessment you can take on my website at womenrockingbusiness.com. But one of the qualities of, you know, of the wise entrepreneur is that you are a visionary. You're willing to let the visions, you know, not the vision consistently be bigger than the details. You know, your vision has got to be bigger than the to-do list. And that doesn't mean the to-do list doesn't happen and that you don't problem solve ways for the to-do list to actually take place. But We have to keep our vision as first and foremost, or, you know, our business will potentially hit an upper limit and or stop growing. And I like to say, if we're not growing, we're dying. But, you know, this idea that women have something unique to bring is absolutely true. And the more we can actually see selling, like I said, as a form of service, I think the more women are going to be able to bring the very thing that the marketplace is asking for. I mean, we're living in such an interesting time. I mean, it's actually, this week is Women's Business Day. Right now, Google is actually getting sued by three of their women employees who are not getting paid the same as men are getting paid for the same job. Right. And it's just, it's such an incredible opportunity for women right now to step up and to create the business that they've been dreaming of creating. And the more we can continue to really see our business and the process of selling as a form of service rather than something that, like I said, leaves a distaste in our mouth, I think the sooner we're going to be successful.
I think that's right. And that's one of the areas where you talk about this new paradigm of business, and there's a whole chapter in your book, Selling Without Selling Out. So many women, as you talk about, are just really turned off by the pushy sales and the hard sales tactics, and they don't feel comfortable with it, they don't like it, they don't want to be the subject of it, and they certainly dislike being the ones perpetrating it. And you lay out a whole way, if you reconceptualize it, as you talked about, think about it selling as a service, that you have something to offer the world, you're happy to offer it, delighted to have people to benefit from it, and to take that approach of selling as service, that to me is one of the most dramatic places where, if you're applying feminine values in a business, that's where it's going to show. And when you do that, the remarkable thing is you can actually do better in sales and have more fun because you're doing it in alignment with your values, because people don't like the hard sell.
That's right. That's right. We're living in a time where people don't even want leaders. They don't even want speakers. They don't want salespeople. They don't want leaders who have like the canned spiel any longer. You know, we see right through it. We want authenticity. We want to hear real conversations. We want to hear dialogues. We want to hear vulnerability. We want to hear behind the scenes. We want to hear about what it really takes. You know, reality TV has never been more popular, right? Like, we want the real thing. We're not robots. We're human beings having a human experience, and people are hungry for that. And so I think as conscious saleswomen and as entrepreneurs, the more we can bring our humanity and our vulnerability into the conversation alongside our credibility. You know, I tell my clients, you know, you've got to have the vulnerability, but you also need the credibility, right? Both of those things are what instill trust and confidence in your potential clients and customers. You've got to have both. And when we learn to bring both into the conversation, that's where real relationships get made. And I like to say, it's connection that brings about currency.
Right, exactly. And women are really great about making the connection. That's what we do. It's who we are.
It's what we do. It's totally who we are. And how beautiful, right? That,
yeah,
it's like our very, exactly, like the very essence of us is actually brilliant at leadership and entrepreneurship when we surrender to that.
Right. And it's fantastic. So for some of the women listening, and I know there are some women listening now who do want to start their own business, or they've just begun it and they're trying to figure out how to do it, what would you advise them to do as their very first step?
Well, definitely buy my book.
I would agree with by the way.
I couldn't resist the moment of unabashed self-promotion. but in all seriousness, I want to encourage you to be willing to take bold and imperfect action. You know, one of the things that I tell my clients is that, you know, clarity actually comes from taking action and not the other way around. I think it's so completely in us to think about things and talk to people about our ideas and then think about them some more before we ever put those ideas into action. And, you know, the way that my company started, the way that my million-dollar training company started, we're reaching over 100,000 women around the globe right now, and we started in my living room, 12 women sitting around on my purple couches with a cup of tea and, you know, talking about women's leadership. And I was teaching some, you know, I taught some of my tools that I know get women out of their own way. And it, what that grew into, Eleanor, is it grew into women wanting to hire me and my, you know, my my women's gatherings becoming more and more formal. And I actually started training and I got the confidence to start teaching. And, you know, it started one client at a time. And my first two clients were pro bono clients. I offered to work with them in exchange for a success story, in exchange for a testimonial. That's all I wanted. I was still figuring myself out. I didn't want to have to, you know, pretend to be anything that I wasn't. I coached these women for, I think, 8 weeks each. And at the end of the 8 weeks, I had some success stories to use in my marketing. And then my two first paying clients were paying me $75 an hour, right? And, you know, that's grown into hundreds of women in year-long training programs. And I have a crew of five coaches now working for me and helping me deliver all the coaches and the content to students in my programs. And I want to just say that you can start right where you are. You know, everything that you've been going through in your life has led you to this moment where some of you are potentially ready for your next chapter. I even like to say that your life has been like a PhD program preparing you for the next gift that you're meant to bring or the next level that you're meant to go to, right? Maybe some of you are out there, you've already started businesses and you're ready to take the business to the next level or you're ready to shift the direction of the business. And I really believe that you've been on a hero's journey, you know, and for you men, you've been on a hero's journey, but you've been through things that nobody else has been through in the unique way that you've gone through them. And I know it's easy to look out in the world and to compare yourself to other people that might be doing something similar to what you want to do. And it's so easy to take yourself out of the game and say, well, they're already doing it. And I'm here to tell you that if you have the idea, if you have the desire to bring something to the world, even if it's not fully formed yet, even if it's still in kind of incubator mode, I'm here to tell you that I believe that desire is the universe working through you, wanting to do its good work through you, and that there's a way that you can bring that service, that product, that program, there's a way that you can bring that thing that's unique to you that nobody else can bring because of the stories that you're going to tell in your marketing, because of the people that you might end up hiring, because of the way that you bring it, you know, there are going to be people that want and desire that program, product, or service from you, uniquely you. And when we can really wrap our minds around that, then this idea of competition can just go away.
Right, exactly. So you have not only the book, you have the business, Women Rocking Business, and you're helping women entrepreneurs worldwide. Can you give us an example of a woman business owner that you help to give our listeners a sense of the kind of work you do?
Yeah, I would love to. So this is a great story about a woman named Susan Pierce Thompson. She has a company called Bright Line Eating. She helps women lose weight, and she has all the science behind weight loss, all the cutting-edge science. And when Susan came to me, she was barely starting out. She was still teaching. She was a tenured psychology professor. And Susan's a great example of someone whose life has really been a PhD program preparing her for the business that she was meant to launch. And, you know, as a young woman, Susan really struggled with her weight. Her weight would swing back and forth from a size 4 to a size 24. And Susan was an addict.
Wow, that's quite a variation.
She definitely, you know, was the classic, you know, addict who really could not get her weight under control. And in the process of finding all kinds of resources to help her break these addictive tendencies and to help her really heal and get into what she calls a right-sized body, she's now been a consistent size 4 for almost a decade. She's one of, you know, she was a client for over a year and now is one of my best friends. And, Susan launched a business called Brightline Eating, where now she's literally helping hundreds of thousands of people around the globe lose weight and keep it off. And, you know, Susan's a perfect example of, you know, a woman who has been through horrific moments in her life, and she's turned those struggles around, turned some of those biggest challenges of her life around into an incredible gift that's helping hundreds of thousands of people. And whether your life, whether your gift, whether your business idea translates as directly as Susan's or not, I'm here to also, remind you that there are ways you can take these lessons, these, you know, awarenesses that you've, you know, gathered throughout your lifetime and apply them to your business, apply them to your company culture, right? One of the things about our culture is if you ever decide you want to come to a Women Rocking Business live event, we do all of our events on the California coast, and we have hundreds of women entrepreneurs fly in from all over the world. We have, you know, women represented from Australia and from Europe and from Africa and from Japan, from South America, and we're starting our businesses together, and there's a tangible sense of cooperation and collaboration in the room, and we just know that women go so much further together. And one of my backstories was that I was painfully excluded, Eleanor. I was painfully excluded as a young woman. You know, just as Susan struggled with her weight, I really struggled with fitting in, and to the point where I got locked in lockers and kicked out of the girls' club many times and went home, you know, crying to my mom many, many times because for some reason I just was one of those girls that got picked on. Now, whether you were a woman who maybe got picked on or maybe you were on the other end of the spectrum and you were the mean girl, you know, as we grow up, we always reflect on whatever side of that coin we were on, and we can use that to our benefit. And I truly believe that one of the reasons that my company has grown so quickly and women who are a part of our, you know, Women Rocking Business tribe will tell you there's a real sense of community and sisterhood in this world where we're all truly helping each other. One of the reasons why I've been able to create that, and I understand how to create that container, and I understand how to invite my clients into that place of generosity and mutual cooperation is because I've been the one that has been excluded. I have been the one who's been on the outside, and I understand that a sense of belonging is actually one of the biggest drivers of human behavior. And so if we can get our women feeling like they belong in our tribe, you know, really like knowing fully and fully confident that they have, you know, a band of women around them, a gaggle of women around them who are literally holding their dreams alongside them. I think it's one of the reasons why our women are having such great results in our training programs. And so that's just another way that your particular life circumstances can affect not just your message or not just the service you're creating, but it can, but your particular life circumstances can create and affect the culture of the business that you're building. And I think that's where things start to get really exciting, because now we can really see why this sense of competition that we think is there doesn't actually exist when we begin to see how unique each of us are as we bring our gifts to the world and to the marketplace.
I think that's true, and I was very impressed in your book that you clearly do create that sense of community and sisterhood for the people who come to work with you, and you give tribute to many of the women who have helped you along the way, including Lynn Twist and, of course, Claire Zammit with the Feminine Power Program. What would you say is the most valuable lesson that you learned from Claire Zammit with the Feminine Power?
I also could start crying when I start talking about the ways that Claire Zammit and Lynn Twist and Marcy Shimoff, you know, some of these women who have gone before me, some of the ways they've showed up for me, it just gets me straight into the sort of innermost corridors of my heart. And I think it's one of the reasons why I'm so adamant about us as women paying it forward, you know, whenever we can be generous with our sisters, whenever we can be generous with our friends, with our community. I think that generosity, the heart of that generosity is a part of the gold. It's part of the, you know, sort of the new economy that women can create together. You know, Claire Zammit is someone who has absolutely stood for women creating a new paradigm of strength and of truth-telling and of self-expression on the planet. And I think Claire, as much as anyone, has really given me that confidence that that we're living not at a time of feminism, right? This is not a time where women have to take back their power, because we already have. We're living at a time where now the question becomes, what do we do with that power, right? Because it's not happening externally to the degree that it used to. You know, we can't necessarily look out in the world and really pretend that men are oppressing us. And if that's still happening to you, I'm here to tell you, let's get you what you need to stand up and do something about that, right? But we just had our first female, candidate, almost get the presidency. And Hillary's not going to do this for us. Hillary can't rescue us. Like, we're gonna have to rescue ourselves, right? And I think we know, and we're stepping into this place of knowing, that we are no longer victims, that instead we are recognizing the power inside of us, and we're realizing that it's up to us to get behind each other and to really get out of our own way so that we can create the thing that we can create the paradigm, we can create the shift this planet needs.
And we definitely need a shift. And I love both that you have integrated into the entire business model integrity, honesty, generosity, and service. And in addition to that, you also have the philanthropic work that you do. And I was very moved when you write about working with the Pachamama Alliance and Lynn Twist, and you go down to the Achuar in Ecuador and supporting some developments in a positive way with the Achuar tribe. And I really was moved when you talked about the women there see part of their role is tell the men when to stop, like when they've cut enough trees, you don't have to cut any more trees.
Such a good story.
When they see the photos of the Western cities, they're asking you, why haven't the women in the West stood up and said, stop? What's your answer?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a good story. I just want to give a little bit of backstory, right? We've gotten the opportunity and the great honor to travel down to the heart of the Amazon jungle with a woman named Lynn Twist. And my company has done, a lot of fundraising for this organization that Lynn Twist runs called Pachamama. There's actually a group of women in the rainforest that are working to keep the oil companies out of their jungle home. And we've adopted them a little bit as a company, and we've raised over $100,000 just for that organization alone, in addition to some of the other fundraising that we've done. And when I traveled down to Ecuador and met with some of these women, indigenous women, 500 miles past any roads and in the middle of the jungle, this was the story that they told me. They said, when we see pictures of the West, we only have one question. Why haven't the women stood up and said, stop? There's enough cars and there's enough roads and there's enough skyscrapers. But they also said something really important to me. They said, we want you to go back and tell the women that you work with that we want them to create. It's the feminine that needs to be creating on the planet right now, and not just women and men who are honoring the feminine in us that knows that bigger, better, faster, stronger is not going to get us out of this mess we've built ourselves into, right? It's the feminine in us that knows enough is enough. From here on out, we've got to build things more sustainably. We have to take responsibility, and it's the feminine in us that can create those solutions and can create beautiful contributions to the planet that also keep us in check. And I believe that women are starting to stand up, and women are starting to bring that message to the marketplace that bigger, better, faster, stronger is not always the way to go, right? And One of the interesting paradigms I see, especially with conscious women entrepreneurs, is that we will hold back on growing our business because we don't want to become part of the problem, right? We don't want to contribute to the materialism and the consumption that we see happening on the planet. And I'm here to tell you, straight from the jungle mamas in the heart of the indigenous rainforest, these women have never been out of the rainforest. They live 500 miles beyond any roads. From their voice to my voice and now to your heart, they need you to be creating. They are asking us to be the creators so that we can bring our understanding of sustainability and balance into the conversation.
Right, and we need to be creating in a way that is respectful of the planet and each other.
That's right.
Yes, so yes to all of that. And I'm wondering, and maybe you haven't thought about this at all, but I'm looking at this whole situation where we had kind of a cyber Pearl Harbor attack by the Russians on the U.S. voting system last year.
Yes.
What? And we have kind of the king of patriarchy occupying the White House right now.
Yes.
What do you think women business owners can do about the crisis of democracy in the U.S. right now?
I think that we can build our businesses and start taking back our power. You know, I'm living right here. I just bought a house last year about two blocks from the ocean here in Santa Cruz, California. And, you know, I'm 20 miles away from Silicon Valley, and I'm watching what Silicon Valley is able to do in terms of continuing to help regulate and balance out some of the horrific decisions that are happening politically. And the stronger that we can get with our leadership, with our finances, the more we can give back to the causes that we believe in, the more we can offset what's happening politically. And I think that starts with us really claiming that nobody out there is smarter than us in terms of how smart we need to be. I mean, believe me, I like to hire people to work for me that are smarter than me, right?
Uh-huh.
But we're not waiting for someone to come and rescue us. We're taking back our power now. We're putting our attention toward the things that we can affect. You know, if my little company, started 5 or 6 years ago, has now become a $1 million training company that we've, raised $500,000. What can I do in 5 years? How many millions of dollars, how many tens of millions of dollars could I raise for causes around the world that need us? And how can I offset some of the environmental and social justice issues, homelessness issues? How can I start to offset that, right? The more successful I'm able to create both my company and the companies and businesses of the women who are stepping up behind me and alongside me. Susan Pierce Thompson, my client that I just told you about, her company is going to fly right past ours this year. She's already more successful than I am, and I'm sitting here rooting her on, cheering her on. How can we go further together, and how can then we as women be asking the questions from a place of leadership and from a place of power what needs to happen?
Right. I think that's great. And I remember hearing Mark Victor Hansen speak a while back, and he said, if you are capable of making money, you have a responsibility for making money. Obviously, you want to do it in an ethical way and in a service way, as you talk about. But the more money you can generate and the more service you can give, the more positive impact you can have in the world.
Yes. One of my friends says it best. She says, you know, you can't give from negative profits. And so we've got to get our businesses profitable. And then I'm here to remind you that, you know, I think sometimes for those of us that haven't come from money, and we haven't had that experience of real financial wealth in our lives, mm-hmm. I think we can almost be resistant to creating that kind of money because we don't want to become somebody that we're not. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to be the same person, whether you have all kinds of cash in the bank or whether you don't, you're still going to be the same person. Money is like a tool. It's like a hammer. We can use that hammer to build a house, or we can use that same hammer to tear down a house. And so the more we can get the money in the hands of those of you with big hearts and who are ready to create real positive change, the better it's going to be for the planet.
That's exactly right. And how can people get in touch with you to learn more about your work?
Oh, head over to the website, womenrockingbusiness.com. You can take my leadership assessment and really identify where are your strongest leadership capacities in terms of growing your business and where are you less comfortable so that we can skill you up in those areas. And then absolutely, the book is for sale right now on my website, womenrockingbusiness.com. The book comes with $1,200 worth of free bonus trainings. And check us out. We do live events here on the California coast. We would love to have you come and attend live and in person and join us. And Eleanor, it's just such an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to be with me today. And I congratulate all of you who are on a mission-driven path in your life and in your career.
Thank you, Sage. I really appreciate that, and I love your book. I encourage our listeners, please go do yourself a favor, buy this book, Women Rocking Business by Sage Levine. It is the new paradigm in business. It is, I believe, going to really give turbojet propulsion to people with good values and good heart who want to be of service to be able to create more economic security for ourselves and to be able to have greater impact in the world. That's all the time we have. Sage Levine, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Eleanor. What an honor to meet you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
In case you've missed any of these programs, they're available in the archives. If you want to learn more about Breakthrough Solutions, go to thebreakthroughway.com. If you like this program, please go to iTunes and like it there. Our theme song is Let's Give Them Something to Talk About, sung by Bonnie Raitt. I'll be back 1 week from today. Thanks for joining us. This is Eleanor Lacaine with All Together Now.